At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charging against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charging against this man, Daniel, unless it is something to do with the law of his God." So these ministers and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal admissions, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors had all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now your majesty issued the decree and put it in writing so that it could not be altered, in accordance with the law of Medes and Persians, which could not be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the window opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before.
It's great to be with you this morning, albeit in a different format than we had planned or hoped for. Thanks, Dan, for the invitation to come and explore together different ways that we might establish rhythms or habits in our life that foster healthy and resilient spirituality. I know many of you are reading Peter Scazzero's book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and working through that. Today I'm going to dip into chapter 7 and look at that, as well as some other things that I have found helpful in establishing habits or rhythms in my life, and in different ways that I've taught this at Mauling as well. I wonder, over the last few weeks, in fact over the last year or so, whether you have taken notice of the habits that you have. Are you a creature of habit? Are you someone that likes the predictable? Or are you somebody that struggles to create habits, to have certain set ways of doing things? Are you someone that prefers more the unpredictable? And what has that all been like over the last year or so, when there's been so much that has been out of our control, so many things that are unpredictable? And what's that like for you this past week? What might it look like for you next week? I know for those of you who have school-age kids, or for those of you who are teachers, for lots of us, we're living with that unpredictable nature of what is going to happen. What are the things that we will be able to do? What won't we be able to do? When will things change? When it comes to our life of faith, there's a whole lot that is unpredictable as well, isn't there? There are things that are out of our control, things that happen to us, that happen in our world. But there's also a whole lot of things that we can do, that we can be intentional about, that help ground us, that help us be resilient, that remind us of the faithfulness of God, that help us, as I said before in my in the short interview that I had, or that help us hold on to the hope that we profess. Some things that we might have in our life, in our rhythms of community and connection, that draw our attention back to God and to his good news, to his purposes for us and for the world. So these kind of habits and rhythms that will help us have healthy and resilient spirituality. I wonder what those rhythms are for you. I wonder if you already have some. I'm sure for some of us, we've grown up with certain habits or rhythms or disciplines. For some of us, they've been easy to keep. For others of us, we've really struggled. What is it that is different about these spiritual habits or spiritual rhythms in our life. As I've been thinking about that, I can think of lots of different ways that they're different to, say, how we go about our normal day, the ways that our weekday might look different to our weekends, the kind of habits that we have. Our spiritual habits and our spiritual rhythms do look a little bit different. And for me, they look different in two set ways. And they're ways actually that are reflected in the two spiritual habits or rhythms that Peter Scazzaro talks about in chapter 7. Ways of paying attention to God that are intentional and invitational. In the chapter, as well as one of the Bible readings that you've looked at in Daniel, we see that in Daniel's life, as well as in the life of God's people reflected in the book of Exodus, we see that the people of God have intentional rhythms and habits, ways of doing things that draw their attention to God. For Daniel, as the reading said, that was certain prayer at certain times done as a discipline in a land that he was a prisoner in a time when that prayer was clearly not in line with what was expected of him. In the book of Exodus, we see God establishing certain rhythms for his people, including a rhythm of Sabbath that Peter Scazzaro talks about in his book. Rhythms of faith, rhythms of life that are intentional and are planned, that don't just we don't just fall into them by mistake. And so I would say, for me, as I've thought about the rhythms of faith in my life, there has to be an intentionality about it. And often when things are planned, I'm not somebody that really loves planning. That's not my personality as much as it might be yours. Establishing and intentionally establishing rhythms of faith have been important. Rhythms that become then habits that become just a baseline to how I'm living. Rhythms that are regular and repetitive. We see that in both daily prayer that we see in Daniel, as well as the Sabbath, a repetitive nature to these rhythms as well. The intentionality is not just a one-off, but is something that is going to be grounded in our everyday lives, week after week, year after year. Doesn't mean that we need to be stuck, I don't think, but it does suggest that there is a perseverance to these rhythms of life, a healthy perseverance that means that when times are unpredictable, there are these predictable, intentional ways of doing our life together with God and with each other that can hold us fast, that can help us be resilient. These rhythms of life as well are often countercultural, aren't they? We might have seen that to actually stop, to pay attention to God, to gather together as God's people, to pray. These things are countercultural. These rhythms of life stop us in our tracks sometimes, highlight to us that we are called to be in the world but not of the world, to ask us to live a different kind of life because we have God in it. There's an intentionality about that that can sometimes put us at odds with those around us. There's also, for me, a strong sense of these rhythms being invitational. I don't know. I love getting invited to things. I'm a bit of an introvert, so I don't always love going to things, but I love getting invited to things. And when I think about these rhythms of life, they are invitational by their nature and by their design. First of all, I think they remind us, these rhythms of life remind us that we are invited by God to be part of his community, to be in relationship with him. We are invited by God to commune with him, to listen to him, to pray to him, to spend time in his presence. Rhythms of faith, whatever they might be, are by their very nature invitational, to seek to know God, to experience his love, to be transformed by his grace. We accept God's invitation as he calls us to follow him and to be part of his family. What an amazing thing, hey? To be invited by God into a rhythm of life that, as Jesus says, brings us joy and joy to the full. Brings us full life and life to the full. When I think about establishing rhythms of faith, I've got to remind myself, first of all, that I don't need to create this, that God has already created these things, established these ways of being, and invites me to experience them. Invites me to experience what Philip Yancey calls the unforced rhythms of grace in my life. I accept God's invitation. There's also part of that invitation that comes from me to God. I actually invite God in. Establishing rhythms of faith, rhythms or disciplines of spirituality mean that I intentionally invite God into my life. I ask the Holy Spirit to be convicting me and transforming me, to be highlighting the areas of my life that still need work, the areas of my life that need to be surrendered to his grace and purposes. I invite God into that journey. As I do that, of course, I can see that God's already there, that God is just waiting to be part of my life. But I still need to open up myself to God and to say, yes, God, let's do this together. There's also an invitational aspect, I think, in rhythms, in establishing rhythms of faith that invite others into that journey as well. And we accept the invitation of others. In the two rhythms that Peter Scazzera talks about, the daily office and Sabbath, if we were going to develop those or explore those for ourselves, we would be kind of joining and connecting with people throughout history who had also practiced that rhythm. We would find a welcome by those who, way in the past, had experienced the same things, had been on the same journey, had established the same rhythms. We're invited into that grand history, that grand narrative of God's people lived out in community. And we also can invite others into that. Our rhythms are not just individual rhythms, but rhythms of community and faith and invitation, that we say, come and experience something of my experience, of my rhythms. We invite people to be on the journey with us. We do it together. For those of you who regularly come into a faith community in church, hopefully you've experienced the joy of that invitation of doing faith together, doing life together, walking together in these rhythms of maturity, of growth. So these kind of rhythms, I haven't even really talked about all the different kinds that they are. For me, they're both intentional and invitational. Intentional, they have a purpose. They are important as we think about what it means to grow in faith and maturity in Christ. They're invitational as I accept God's invitation and invite God to be a part of what I'm doing. There are so many different ways of doing that. There's so many different rhythms that we can establish, aren't there? You might already have established some, as I said before, Maybe you haven't, and maybe you're wanting to explore some new rhythms during this time, during this series. There are so many books out there that can help you explore different rhythms of faith. Some, of course, as you've read through Sabbath and regular prayer, or what in history has been called the daily office in church history. You might meditate on scripture. You might pray in really disciplined ways through a series of prayers that have been written for you or been established for you. You might want to use different ways, different habits, like the daily examine, which comes from Benedictine spirituality, where each night you kind of look over your day and pay attention to what God has done in the day, and what you have done throughout the day as well, and dedicate the day past and the day into the future to God. You might want to establish patterns of solitude and silence, where you intentionally rest, where you do nothing. It's incredibly countercultural to do, where you just sit and experience the presence of God, where you listen to God. Maybe that's through nature or through meditating on scripture, whatever that might be, where you actually pay attention to what God is doing in your world. Maybe you want to develop patterns of service and advocacy, where you are actively involved in doing things in community with a clear intention and an invitation to see God at work. Maybe you have patterns of relinquishment, of fasting, or giving up certain things, or giving, that help you pay attention to God. For me, I've tried lots of different ways. I've been a person of faith for a number of decades, and as I said before, I'm not somebody that particularly finds developing habits easy. I think I've explored lots of different spiritual disciplines or spiritual habits, some to bear and all to varying degrees of success. For me, I found some really simple things that have been helpful. I really like written prayers, and so at the moment, whenever I come into work, I have a book of written prayers, and I just sit at the start of my day and read through the prayer for that day. Take some time to either just pray it as it is or adjust it to be a little bit more personal to my context. Just a moment to reorientate my day, to say to God, I'm aware of what you're doing today, and I ask that you will continue to make me aware of your presence. Other things that I've done, I intentionally catch up with some friends every few weeks, and in community we talk together, we hold each other accountable, we discuss some of the tough stuff of life, we challenge each other and encourage one another. I found the habit of spiritual friendship so helpful as I've grown in maturity of faith, to have people that I trust that are on that journey with me, who know me and have invited me to know them well, and to be in a space together where we draw attention to God and to what God is doing in the world. Another rhythm that has worked for me and continues to work for me is to spend some time in silence and solitude. I often do that as I go for a walk. I choose not to listen to music or a podcast, but to walk mostly in silence, to take notice of what's going on around me, to think about what God is doing in my neighborhood, to look at my neighborhood through God's eyes, to notice the nature that God has blessed us with as I walk around my streets, to listen to the noises that are around me, to look at the faces of the people that pass by. Sometimes that's a bit unnerving. You don't want to kind of look weird, but to, as I walk past people, to pray and ask God to bless them. There's kind of some really simple things that I do on a daily or a weekly basis that help me develop those rhythms of faith, rhythms that draw attention to God. And so as we think about those different rhythms, I want to encourage you to explore, to find ones that work for you, to find ones that work for you individually and ones that might work for you within your family, or within your friendship group, within your church community as well. To do some that are individual and some that are corporate. But as we do that, I want to think about what effect might that have on your life and on the life of a community of faith. I think importantly, it will help us stop and pay attention to God. What does it mean for us to focus in that way? To pay attention to what God is doing, to who God is, to God's claim on our life, to God's sovereignty in the world. What does it mean to develop rhythms that help us take notice of who God is and what God is doing? A book that I got given a little while ago from a friend, it's not written by a Christian that I know of. It's a book called How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy. And the writer, Jenny Odell, says this: "One thing I've learned about attention is that certain forms of it are contagious. When you spend enough time with someone who pays close attention to something, you inevitably start to pay attention to some of the same things. I've also noticed that patterns of attention, what we choose to notice and what we do not, are how we render reality for ourselves, and thus have a direct bearing on what we feel is possible at any given time. These aspects taken together suggest to me the revolutionary potential of taking back our attention. For me, developing rhythms and habits of faith take back attention. Attention, you know, we often get so distracted by the world, by our screens, by whatever. How do these habits help draw our attention back to God? Help us think through what it means to seek God's kingdom first, to be focused on his righteousness, to be, as Paul, fixed and running the race of faith, to be like the writer of Hebrews describes it, to be, you know, letting go of everything that entangles us and focusing on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. What kind of rhythms could you establish that help you pay attention to God, but also pay attention to yourself, to habits that you formed, to the ways that you're growing in faith? Sometimes those developing these rhythms that do take sacrifice, that are intentional, highlight to us some of the unhealthy habits that we have, the unhealthy patterns that we've developed individually or in relationship. They call us to change. They call us to be transformed into the people God wants us to be, to grow in maturity. That's a challenge. But if we establish these rhythms and encourage one another, then we can see God, through his grace, transform us individually and as a community. I think too, these rhythms will help us pay attention to others. We will learn from others. We will hopefully become more prayerful about others. We will delight in the ways that we see God at work in our world. And as we pay attention, we will reorientate ourselves, hopefully. As we pay attention, we'll be refocused on who God is and who we are in God, in what it means to be his child, in what it means to be a people of faith, a holy people, as Peter calls us, people that are called to declare the hope that we have in Christ. As we pay attention, as we refocus or reorientate ourselves to God, we'll continue to see God at work, and we'll see the world through God's eyes. We'll see others through God's eyes. Hopefully, as we refocus, we will delight in the good things that we can see, and we will righteously despair at the things that we see still need transformation in our lives and in our world. We will be people of hope and people of justice. We, of course, will be aware of our own failings, and in doing that, fall back on God's grace. Our rhythms will not be healthy if they become legalistic rhythms. They must be these rhythms of grace in our lives that call us to live differently. And so as I wrap up, I want to encourage you, whatever rhythm you might establish, whatever you decide, intentionally decide to do, that opens up opportunities for you to see God at work, to invite God to be transforming you. Whatever they might be, my hope is that they make a difference in our lives, in our relationships, and in our world. How remarkable would it be if we were people of faith that had rhythms that challenged some of the unhelpful habits in our world? How remarkable would it be if we had habits or rhythms that truly allowed us to delight in great things, to appreciate nature, to value story, to take time to stop, to reflect, to contemplate, to grow? How amazing would it be for us to develop rhythms that help us display God's character and God's priorities into the world, that help us hold on together to the hope we profess. Our rhythms are only as good as the God who has established them. And so my prayer for you is that whatever rhythm you establish, whatever habit you try to create, is done in the power of God and for God's purposes, so that his glory might be on display, that we might be a different kind of people that are a light to the world and salt to a world, that we show a different way of living, and in doing so, speak to the hope that we have. For he who promised is faithful, and God will do it. And so, that's my prayer for you guys. I'm keen to hear how it goes, and I hope to be with you sometime into the future that we can meet together. But thank you for having me. Thank you for listening.
As we finish our time together, please join me in prayer. Our holy and gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God who has saved us, that you're a God who saves. We thank you that you are a God that wants a relationship with us, that you have invited us to be part of your family, to make up a holy community, that you have invited us to be transformed by your Spirit, that you call us to be partners with you in declaring your kingdom in word and deed. God, we ask, particularly right now, as so much is unpredictable, where so many other things are clamoring for our attention, we ask by your grace and purpose that you will gift us with the desire and the will and the perseverance to develop healthy, sustainable, and resilient rhythms of faith. Cause us to stop. Help us to rest. Give us opportunities to connect with you and others. God, continue to teach us about ourselves, highlighting our gifts, but also our weaknesses, so that we might come to you humbly and seek your transformation. We ask that you will help us pay attention to you, to find joy in recognizing your presence, to see the world, see others, see ourselves through your eyes. Help us throw off the things that so easily entangle us, that distract us. We ask that you'll forgive us for the times when we've settled for far less than the life you want for us. And we thank you that you are a God that delights in creating and bringing life. And so we ask that through you we might experience life and life to the full. By your grace and power, continue to shape us to be your people, a people who live more and more with integrity and wholeness and hope. We ask that we might honor you, that we might experience your blessing, and in doing so, bless others, that we will love you and love our neighbor. We ask that we might know deep down the hope and the truth of the gospel offered to us through Jesus Christ. We thank you. We depend on you. We honor you. Amen.